Lord God has given me the tongue of the disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. Father, we just thank you for your presence here today, Lord. You've already moved amongst us in different ways and touched different people in different ways already. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you're here. So that you'd give us unction now, that we'd be able to speak as your oracle here tonight. Lord, that you would meet the needs that are in the room as you always do. We just ask you just to manifest yourself whichever way you see fit. And we'll just get out of the way. And so, Lord, we just thank you again in advance for what you're doing here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you have your Bibles with you or your phone or you have it memorized, like Charles does, probably knows what I'm going to even say. Let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 1. There's so many things going on in our world right now. It seems like we're in a, every day, you know, something is happening out there. It's just, you know, we live in a time, you know, years ago, thousands of years ago. I mean, they didn't know what was going on, you know, 50 miles down the road. You had to wait till somebody came on a horseback or walked or whatever. And yet we live in a time where if something happens on the other end of the planet, we know it. Sometimes we even know things before the news gets it because of the internet. Everything's just been connected, you know, all around the world. And it's interesting because you read the Bible and you can tell these guys thousands of years ago and the things that they said, they couldn't be prophesying to a world that was back then because just the way the thing reads, it's like it's a world perspective. It's like everyone knows, you know, that things are occurring. So anyway, I'm going to go into some things tonight. I think some of you have already heard all this stuff probably before. This really got quickened to me last night and kind of came to me today again. So I'm going to do my best to get through it tonight. But sometimes I go down some rabbit trails and I'm not going to keep everybody here too late. But Matthew 16, verse 1, says the Pharisees and Sadducees came up and testing Jesus. They asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he replied to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times?" And these were the religious leaders of the day, and he's really pushed the question, how is it that you know about this, but you don't even know who's in front of you? And we're living in a time like that. We're living in a time where we need to discern the signs of the times. And you all have ministries here. Everybody in here is called to a ministry, whether you know it or not. It's not everybody doesn't have a pulpit ministry, but you are called to ministry. Everyone is. And I see some new faces, so I'll just kind of say what I always say here. If I'm repeating myself, I do that sometimes, and so my wife says. So anyway, I believe everybody has a ministry, and I believe that you will give an account for that when you stand before the Lord. And he will ask you, did you complete the mission I sent you in here the earth to do? And you'll give an account for that, we all will. And you'll hear your name called out, and open up a book of life, and just to hear your name called out. Have you ever come up for any kind of an award before, you know, in high school or whatever, or, you know, whatever it might be, you know, and you get your name called out, and you go up there and get your award, you know? I mean, think of having your name called out. By Jesus. Present. Come on up here. He's just looking at his eyes, flames of fire, created the heavens and the earth, the power just, we can't even, we can't comprehend it. I can't, I accept it in faith. No beginning, no end. And he's calling your name out. And you'll stand before him. And he'll, you know, did you do what I sent you in this earth to do? And it's because you're here tonight, you can't sit there and say, I didn't know I had a mission. You can't say that because you know now. And I kind of spoiled it for you. But you'll have to give an account. We all will. And so it's good to know what you're sent here to do. It's good to find that out. And I hope in some way that we're able to help that here. We use a variety of different ministries. We have different worship leaders. We've had four different worship leaders. And Garrett, it's the first time you shared tonight. And we've had, I don't know how many different teachers. We have others in here that teach as well. And it's just a variety. And we just kind of let the Holy Spirit move here in so many different ways. And so we hope to help you out in that journey. And I hope that you understand that that's something that you have something to look forward to. So anyway, so discerning the signs of times is something that Jesus really kind of put to the Pharisees. And he wasn't actually trying to build them up. He just was basically critiquing them because he always knew where they were coming from. He always knew what they were going to say before they would say it. As he even said sometimes that, why do you reason within your hearts? You see, he's demonstrating a lot how the gifts work and how the Spirit of God works. It says in Isaiah 11:2 that the Spirit of counsel rested on, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of the fear of God. He had all this operating in his ministry. So when he was in groups of people like we are tonight, he knew what people were reasoning in their hearts. You see, these are the capabilities and the parameters of the anointing that is actually in you. He didn't just get a little Jesus. He didn't just, when you got born, he just didn't give you just a little bit. And you go over here, I gave you a little more. And, you know, we all have measures of faith, but if we use what we've got, more is going to be given to us. But see, these are the parameters. He was walking I operated in the office of the prophet. You know, we use these fancy words today, but he was a prophet. And he just knew things. And so it was very difficult for the Pharisees and these people who could always corner people to pin him down. I mean, you know, they caught the person in adultery, and he comes over and says, you without sin cast the first stone. Now, you know, anybody probably today, if I said that, probably just start slinging a rock because, you know, it's me saying it. But when Jesus and the parameters and the power of the anointing that he carried, he had the anointing without measure. There was no measure to it. And so when he said, let the first one cast a stone, the power was so strong in that area that people were completely convicted, and they knew that, well, I have committed sin, so they couldn't throw a stone. That power that was emanating from him all the time, just, you know, in other situations, he said, your sins are forgiven. They said, you can't do that. You can't tell somebody their sins are forgiven. Remember that? And he goes, well, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven. Because he knew what they were thinking in his heart, in their hearts. I mean, that's such an advantage. Do you ever think you've got an advantage going into conversations, or an advantage going to work, or an advantage out there? You do. You have what we call inside information. Amen. And people get really scared of that when you sit there and you talk to them. Well, I know about that. I've got some inside information. They go, oh, what do you do? Huh? Yeah, I got some inside information. And so he knew what their reason behind it. He said, well, it's easier to do to raise the, you know, this person get up and walk, but to know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins on this earth, the name of Jesus. So he didn't use his name, but he said, rise up and walk. And all of a sudden, this paralytic gets up and starts walking around. He shut their mouths. He demonstrated that love is stronger than any kind of criticism, any kind of judgment. You have that in you. So you need to understand that the potential that resides within you is way beyond what you can ask or even think. That's what the scripture says. God does things beyond what we can ask or think. So he just wants to bring you up higher. He wants you to go to another level. And the level that you're going to is just allowing the manifestation of God to come through you. And you have to practice that. So how do I practice that, Todd? You practice it by just knowing that it's there and allowing it to come out. I mean, literally, I cannot tell you how easy it is for me, because it's easy. I just stop and recognize and believe, because that is what releases and opens up the power of God to flow, is believing. And so, you know, he oftentimes when I'm cooking, that's when it happens with me a lot. I'll be cooking. I don't know what it is about cooking, or I might be building something, I love that, because if I'm building something, I mean, Lex has taught me a lot about construction, but he knows this. All of a sudden, my mind just goes, and Jesus is telling me how to put something together or do this or do that. And then I'm working with him, and that's that manifestation. It's him talking to me and talking to you. It's practicing it all the time. It's literally understanding that he's there. And that's practicing the presence of God. And when you make that a routine and you put in some, you know, days and weeks and months and years, it changes you. But it gets you in touch with the potential of the real reason he went to the cross to save us from our sins. But it says that the mystery, because if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The mystery is Jesus Christ within us. That was the mystery. And that's what he says, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're what? Born again. You can't see it. So you've got an advantage. You can see the kingdom of God. You realize that it's there. And so the potential that resides within you and within me is way beyond what we can even grasp with our finite minds. And that's the supernatural walk that the Lord is leading us in these times to start to walk. Bill said something to me last week that's been going over in my spirit, I mean, just over and over again. And it's something that I knew, but it just made me think. He said, you know, victory is not automatic. I started thinking about that all week long. Victory is not automatic, because it isn't. It's something you have to step into. Yep. You have to step into the victory that's already been, you know, laid out for us. And so we have to understand that sometimes there's some warfare that has to occur in our lives to be able to get to our destination. Amen. I went down a rabbit trail. I'm going to come back, try to get in line here. All right? Amen. Matthew 24. Now, the signs of the times, and I've said this here before, but your ministry has a lot to do with the signs of the times that we're in right now. What exactly is God doing through his body right now? What is he saying to his body? How is he leading his body? He's the head of the church. And so, you know, we can't really go sometimes by the church down the street or here or there. You can't necessarily always go by that. People gather together. Lord is doing. But how is the Lord leading his body? You know, he never built a church while he was here. Did he? He wanted us to build a church, but I believe he wanted it built with living stone, right? So we go to these places where we're gathered. We're here tonight, so we're a church. You two of them are gathered together, you're a church or whatever, but how is he leading us? How is he leading us individually, and how is he leading us collectively? That's, we have to get our orders from heaven. It says in the scripture that the anointing that's permanently in everybody here, it's permanently in you, teaches you concerning everything. Not some things, everything. So he must be saying the same thing here as he's saying over in Russia, or he's saying over in China, or he's saying the same thing, because he's a general and he leads his body into what? Triumph. And unless we're led, unless we come in line with that, we don't enter into that victory that he's already provided for us. So one of the things in your ministry that you must understand, the signs of the times that's so essential for the power of God to move through you, is how are you loving people? Where is your love walk at right now? Really, where is it at? Who's irritating you right now? That's the person. That's the one you're supposed to minister to. How many times have you prayed for that person? How many times have you cussed that person? Put them on the scale. Well, you know we're supposed to love people, but you know the thing about it is, to love someone properly that you really can't stand, you really got to pray for them. You got to pray to the point to where you can see why they are the way they are, if God shows you. That is the key right now, because it says in these signs, in these times, I'll go through, one of the things that has happening to the great falling away is that the love of the great body would what? Grow cold. So the attack on your life and my life, and they're probably not very successful with this group, is to try to get you to a place where you're cold. That's what the enemy is trying to do. So In saying that, in Matthew 24, you read that, talks about the, that whole chapter talks about the signs of Christ's return, and it talks about perilous times. Talks about where these things are going to happen, the signs that Jesus returned. These are the signs. It says that deception is going to increase. Deception is going to be at such a level that the world's never experienced it before. And the world hasn't, because the world, but prior years, they didn't have TV, they didn't have YouTube, they didn't have a phone that you can pick up and communicate to somebody on the other end of the planet within seconds. When you actually, now you can see them, you can see them too, so you can talk to them and look at their face. And so they didn't have those things. But the opportunity for communication of the gospel is also the opportunity for the enemy to preach his gospel. And so the deception level has increased thousandfold. That technology that we hold in our hands is a very tool that God can use, or you can use for God, I should say. It's also the very tool that the enemy can use. And so that's why deception, that's one of the reasons why it's gone through the roof. False prophets have risen up. False messiahs. I know there's been false messiahs in the Jewish nation, Israel. I don't know their names per se, but I know at least three of them that think occurred in history, and there might be one right now. But where there's false messiahs, false prophets, people who think they're prophets, they're not prophets. Prophets is just simply an equipping ministry, as an apostle is, evangelist, teacher, pastor. They're equipping ministries to build up the body of Christ. That's who they are. They function differently. You know, I mean, got some people like, I mean, you know, Garrett's a wrestler. You know, I am not. So I'm not going to go out and try to wrestle you. I'm going to call him up to wrestle you. You see what I'm saying? We all have different giftings. Some, I am not good at what you're good at, and you're not good at what I'm good at. So it's, everybody has a purpose and a place and a niche. And so, but false prophets, people that are trying to proclaim these things, and they write about them too and say this is going to happen, and they don't happen, but we still listen to them. We still turn on the TV and say, oh, they're so great, because they got it all down. They got to come up with the next big thing. How can I keep this religious machine moving? How can I keep this money flowing in? I mean, they come up with all these ideas. You know, and you know, I'm going to sell that water out of the Jordan River. Well, I tell you what, I lived up in Ohio. I'll give you Ohio River water. It's not going to heal you, I'll tell you that right now. But you see, I'm seeing the crazy things, you know, and some of these things we participated in the past, you know, where people go around pushing people down on the ground. You know, I mean, I just got so irritated. I'd be like this, you know, and they'd be like, don't be rebellious, rebellious spirit come out of it. And then you just give them a courtesy fall. And you come back up. I mean, I remember having times where I've been pushed down. That's why when I pray for people personally, I don't do that. I mean, I'll hook them. If they want to go down, they're going to go down. I mean, it's not that God is going to knock somebody down. I mean, I had one guy out in Whitmire. We're doing a meeting out there. Maybe some have been in that meeting. I don't know. It was the strangest meeting. I was talking about the last trumpet or whatever, and the siren goes off. You know, the siren for the whatever. I mean, not when I said it. Yeah, it just sounded like, and everybody's like, oh, like that. And then this one guy said, I had a word for him, and he just gets, he's like a bunch of rows of chairs back there, and the guy just falls back. He must have been 300 pounds. Went, just wiped out a whole bunch of chairs. Nobody touched him. I was like, this is the weirdest me. I got to get out of here, you know, because I think a lot of these problems are local problems. But the thing is, I'm trying to say is that God can knock people down. He did, you know, when he came to get Jesus, he said, you know, they came to get him, right? He said, I am he. And what, 1,000 went back down and fell down to the ground. So I'm not saying that it's not, that can't not be God. But there's a lot of false religious gymnastics. And we've partaken in them sometimes, and sometimes because we just, we want a move of God so badly that we just want it. You see? If the Lord showed up here, honestly, if he really showed up here, the floor would be too high. We all would be down. Face first. And it would be an attitude of our heart. He could show up and make a whole world just burn up like that. I mean, he could speak one word and be nothing. It's nothing to him. It's so powerful. But his love is so strong. He can't come into this realm when we're clothed in this flesh. We'd pop up, pop, like that. But he's going to come back. And so he's redeemed mankind. That's why we got to get new bodies, right? Yeah, everybody wants a new body. I'll take a new body. Somebody didn't raise their hand. Who is that? You didn't raise your hand. Oh, you did? Okay, just making sure. And pride cometh before a fall. No, it says destruction. I'm sorry. You're not that strong. I got that wrong. See, you're always trying to correct me. You're reasoning in his heart, man. That's not right. Anyway, I'm sorry, Charles. I'll stop picking on you. Paul Stain was here. I'd be picking on him. But anyway, you'll get me. I know you'll get me back. So anyway, perilous times, deception, hearing of wars. We hear wars all the time. You turn on TV, find out what's going on. War here, war there. Rumors of wars. I've heard the rumors of World War III now for 2 years now. Earthquakes, famines, roaring of the seas. Earthquakes are increasing on the rise. It's not just the amount of them, it's the intensity of them. You got famines going on around the world. You got race against race. Lawlessness is increased. It says, because of lawlessness, the love of the great body is growing cold. The falling away of Christians. And there are a lot of Christians. I don't know if you know any of them. I know quite a few that are falling away. It's like they've read something on the internet or whatever, how the Bible was written. Oh, it was written 60 years later after Jesus was resurrected. Some crazy stuff online. And yeah, maybe it was. I mean, does it really matter? Does it change the fact that he's real? It doesn't really matter to me. I know the Word of God is true because I apply it. It works. He's real. He's more real than the world that I'm in. He's more real than I am. I mean, I'm just trying to get as much information as I can. And so you don't have to prove that, you know, but a lot of people are caught up by that. They get caught up in intellectualism. They become what they call cultural Christians. They believe in the Christian morals, but they don't necessarily believe in God. Cultural Christians. It sounds so sophisticated. What are you? I'm a cultural Christian. Okay, well, what does that mean? I'm a cultural Christian. I'm a connoisseur of Christianity. I don't know. It's something that people are just doing out there now, and it's strange, but it's happening. So these are signs that Jesus is talking about. He's saying these are the things that are going to happen, and he goes and lists them. But then at the end of all this list, he also says that the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached. And so you have that going on too. So you've got all these negative things, these times, these earthquakes, but you have the gospel of the kingdom being preached. So that's where you and I come in. What's coming out of your mouth? How are you preaching the gospel? How are you living the gospel? These are the things that we have to ask ourselves. If we're going to look in the mirror, we need to stop putting ourselves down and how our hair doesn't look right and start getting into, hey, how are you preaching the gospel? I mean, not to beat yourself up, but just to ask yourself that question. Well, I'll preach it tomorrow, preaching the gospel is a lot. Yeah, it's talking to people about Jesus, but it's actually practicing the presence of God. So when you get in a crowd or you go to Kroger's or wherever you are, you just start to let it out. It just falls out. Word comes out. It's so funny. There's this guy the other day. I pull up. I thought it was Jim Riley. I don't know if you guys know him. I swear, it was a carbon copy of him. And I pull up and I'm gonna sit there and I love to play jokes on people, so I'm gonna play a joke on Jim Riley. I said something, I go, you need a breakthrough, don't you? Breakthrough is coming your way. You need a breakthrough, buddy. And the guy turns around, looks at me, and it's not him. But he goes, I will take that. I take that. And I said, well, the Lord told me to tell you that, rolled up the window and took off. I am so glad I didn't say something else. I pulled away. I said, Lord, you have such a sense of humor. I'm so glad he needed that. But, you know, it's being aware. I mean, I'm telling you, that's where it's at right now. It's where move of God is right there. It's where you go. That's where it's at. Wherever you go, God goes with you. And start to realize that he's inside you. I mean, have you ever, I want you just to walk around this week and go to a store and just, if you can do nothing, just pretend that you are a glowing radioactive isotope or whatever it is they call it, and you are just radiated. And you've been in the presence of God and he just, you radiate, and you just walk around and you just know that everybody's getting contaminated. You know, you're like the spiritual COVID or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it is just wherever you go. And it's just like, and people are just, you know, maybe you need to do a little of this when you walk. I don't know. I mean, you think this is crazy stuff. It's not crazy stuff. Because what you're going to realize is you're going to start to get in touch with the manifestation of God that's inside of you. You know, the Apostle Paul, they were taking just handkerchiefs from him. I guess he touched them, whatever, and they were taking them, and they put them on people, and demons were cast down. There were people that, you know, Peter was walking in his shadow. People were getting healed just in the shadow. It wasn't them. It was the presence of God within them. These were things that people like to say, well, this is just a demonstration because the church had to get off the ground back then, and that's why they had all that stuff. But then it all went away. Why? I don't really come across too many people like that today that actually I get in contact with, but I can't get my mind around it. Like, you know, God just stopped healing people. There are people that believe this. I mean, there was a young man in a church. He was from lived out in New Mexico or wherever he lived, and came to a church and had a word of knowledge for him. And he called up the pastor. I got to get a hold of this guy. So he calls me, and the pastor says, "Oh, he calls you?" "Yeah, sure, whatever." He calls me up and he says, "Man, there's no way you could have known what you said to me. You don't know me. I'm not from the town. I was out of town, I'm trying to start this church over there. But we've been taught that the gifts of the Spirit have gone away." I go, "Really?" I go, "Well, I didn't ask him to tell you." I said, "Well, I mean, I guess you attended a church that doesn't bless you." "Yeah." I go, "Well, what do you guys do when people are sick in your congregation?" "That's right." "Well, we pray for them." I go, "Why? Gifts have gone away. Why do you pray for them? Why don't you just, you know, get a coffin and kiss them goodbye?" I mean, seriously, it's that easy to really take away these arguments that people have. So, you know, we just have to know that these things are just ready to come out of us if we just will practice the presence. So the gospel of the kingdom is to be preached. So, but there's always a timing in God. And one of these things I really want to get back to, because I really want a fire to be lit in you. And some of you already got this fire lit, and then I'm going to throw some logs on it. And it's in verse 32. It says, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and it puts forth its leaves, you know now that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things," what I was just talking to you about, all the perilous times, the gospel of the kingdom being preached, all those things happen, "when you see these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." So he's talking about a specific generation. He's talking about here about him right at the door. I want you to visualize that in the spirit of Jesus right at a door, waiting for the command from the Father to go. Because of what has been prophesied, because of the season, the signs of the times that we're in. Now, Israel is the fig tree. In Hosea chapter 9, there's so many scriptures on this, I'm just going to touch on one. But in Hosea 9, verse 10, it says, "I found Israel," God speaking, "I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your forefathers as the earliest fruit on the fig tree in its first season. So I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your forefathers as the earliest fruit on the fig tree in its first season." So there's many more scriptures. There's probably at least 10 or more that says that the nation of Israel is represented as a fig tree. So when Jesus is speaking about this parable, he's speaking specifically about Israel. And he talks about the last generation and then being tied to this fig tree that starts to blossom. And so you see the picture of that. Now, there's more to this, and this is in Isaiah and in Deuteronomy, and this is 3,500 years ago. In Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 63, it says, "It shall come about As the Lord delighted over you to prosper you and multiply you, so the Lord will delight over you to make you perish and destroy you. Who would want that to happen? And you will be torn from the land you're entering to possess it. Moreover, the Lord will scatter you, the Jewish people, among the peoples from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, which you or your fathers have not known. Among those nations you will find no rest, and there will be no resting place for the sole of your foot, but there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and despair of soul. So your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you will be in dread night and day, and shall have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, would it that be were evening? And that evening you will say, would that be morning? Because of the dread of your heart, which you dread, and for the sight of your eyes, which you will see. That's a powerful thing that the Lord has said to the nation of Israel. 3,500 years ago, he said he was going to scatter them, and they were going to be persecuted. And this is just a couple things. You know, during the Romans, there was 1.8 million Jews slaughtered. We know Nazi Germany, 6 million. That's not to mention what occurred in Russia and some of these other parts of the world. These things have happened. Now, you go into Ezekiel 11:17. Says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries among which you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. So you have the prophet Moses saying this is going to happen. Then you have Ezekiel saying this is going to happen. And so God says, I'm going to gather you back into the land. That was 2,500 years ago. And then 2,700 years ago, the prophet Isaiah 66, verse 7 says, behold, she has travailed, she has brought forth before her pain came, she gave birth to a boy. So that was before the birth pangs. Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Can a land be born in one day? Can a nation be brought forth all at once? As soon as Zion travailed, she also brought forth her sons. And this is speaking of the nation of Israel. Now we know, and I will tell you this, in 1800, remember it says here that verse 7 is, before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she gave birth to a boy. In the 1800s, Israel was not a nation yet, but there was a Zionist movement, they called it. It began where the Jews started coming from all the different countries back to Israel in the 1800s. It came back to a place that was called Palestine back then. And then, In 1947, there was a partition plan from the UN that was passed, a partition plan for the nation of Israel. At midnight, May 14th in 1948, the Provisional Government of Israel proclaimed a new state of Israel. And so when you sit there, can a nation be brought forth? Can a nation be brought forth in one day? Israel was birthed in one day. It happened. It came to pass. These things are fulfilled. They're brought back into their land. And millions of Jews came from all over the world back to Israel. This has never happened to anybody ever in history. Never a group of people have been scattered through the earth and brought back into one nation. Not only that, there's prophecies that we could go on and on how the original language would be restored. It was. Because all these people came back speaking different languages, they brought back the Hebrew so everybody would have one language. Even down to the mite, said that the mite would be used again, and it is. And these prophecies are so specific, and that was 2,700 years ago. And Jesus said that this last generation, when you see the fig tree begin to blossom, Israel, This would be the last generation. 1948 was when Israel became a nation. That's 76 years ago. What's a generation today in the nation of Israel? 82 years. You see what's happening? You see what's unfolding in the earth right now? The signs of the times. You and I are able to discern them. The world cannot. And because we understand the signs of the times, we can understand this, that the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached throughout all the earth, and then the end will come. But the gospel of the kingdom is the same gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached. It's not our version. It's not the Baptist version, the Presbyterian version, the Charismatic version, all the other little whatever. It's his version. And the only way to get his version is because it's inside of you and me, and it's got to come out. And that's how you find out it's real, because you know it's him. Because when he moves, he moves. He brings peace. He brings love. He brings security. He brings direction. And he brings identity to people's lives. That's what he did with you, and that's what is coming through you right now. It is like he is at the very door, the door of your heart. He's there at the very door inside of you. The potential that you have is beyond what you can even know or imagine. You can go out this door. You can go out this door tonight different. You can go out this door with a revelation and an understanding. It's not just the thing preaching was good tonight. It's the fact that he is in you and wanting to come out, wanting to come through the very door of your heart. Can you hear him pounding? The parable that we have where he said, the one that would pound on the door until someone would answer to, for bread for a friend. Are you? How do I release that? How do I release him inside of you? It's simple as this. You begin to love. You find an opportunity to love. You begin to search your life and where you walk, what you do every day, and allow love to move through you. It will conquer, and you will see the victory come. No, it's not automatic, but it will come because you've stepped into it. You've stepped into your destiny and your purpose. And as you do it, call your name out. Charles? Haynes, are you present? Yes, sir. Come up here. Remember when you were in Lowe's, you helped that person out, you gave them that word, and you didn't want to do it, but you did anyway? Good job. Here, pack of nerds. My son likes nerds, sorry. It's a little candy thing. But you know what I'm saying? I shouldn't have said that. That get on tape, My son loves these nerds. They're gummy nerds. You do a good job cleaning room. Here's a nerd. I know it's probably not good to do that, but and I do eat about five of them. But my point is this: you guys you've got it. You don't have to go to a mountain. You don't have to. You have the Lord Jesus within you. We're in it right now. We're in the grinder. You are having so many storms come at you left and right to try to neutralize you. But you know what? It says in the Word, you know how to handle them, to count it all joy. Count it joy. Count it joy. You have the opportunity. You've been given life. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are here right now. It's all light affliction compared and weight to the glory that's going to be revealed to us and us in us and through us. So you have an opportunity tomorrow to raise the dead, raise the dead. You have an opportunity tomorrow to heal the sick, heal the sick. You have an opportunity tomorrow to speak a word of encouragement, give a word of encouragement. What opportunities are before you? And you know what? If you go out and you sit there and somebody's sick and you lay hands on them, they don't recover, it doesn't really matter, you did it anyway. So you see, Holy Spirit is just looking at you, seeing, encouraging, giving you opportunities. But I guarantee you, these people that are on your way are there for in your way are there for a reason. I don't even need to go through this last part because it talks about being on the alert. I had a couple of scriptures that says be on the alert. I just wanted to share this now. I want to show you scripturally. We are in a time frame. If it's true that 82 years, let's say I get it off by a date or here or whatever, but you can look it up yourself of how long people are living in Israel. Did you know that the nation of Israel had the second legend? What's that word I'm looking for? as far as how people get old, they are at the top, top two in the world. But it's at about 82 years, 85 for women, I think 81 for men. It comes out to about 82. That's just what I did in my research. And then I've heard a lot of other people talk and say that. But the point is, can you imagine it's 78 years, and how many more years we have to hit that 82 mark? 6 years, I got a good mathematician, thank you. 6 years. Can you see the acceleration that's going on the planet right now? You could wake up tomorrow and you could see that all these missiles started. You know, when Israel was birthed as a nation, they immediately were attacked within 24 hours by Egypt, by Lebanon, by Iraq, by Syria.
But I mean, that's really Israel, though, isn't
that's it? Right.
It's going to come back, too.
That's right. And so there's so, even today, all they're surrounded. That's what makes this Bible so unique, is it absolutely the Holy Spirit wants to show us things to come. He wants us to know the future. We may not have some specifics at times, but we might have specifics. No, we're not going to go the day or the hour the Lord comes back. Will we know the year? I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. We know the season. It says in the Word that day will not overtake us. And if we're on the alert, it won't overtake us. But Jesus was real specific. If the slave says, my master isn't going to come for a while, and he beats and is mean to his fellow slaves, he's going to come in an hour, he doesn't know. And that's what it comes down to. It's the love walk. Just know, if you walk out of here knowing anything, it is the love walk, saints. It has got to be refined in our lives. That is what the Holy Spirit is after in you. All these trials, these things are coming different ways. It's all about to get you to fall away, to grow cold. But I want to tell you, when you know that that's what the enemy's after, then you can just begin to laugh. I mean, you may not feel like laughing in the trial. It's not a feeling, it's a power. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's a power. Your feelings may get in line, but if they don't, doesn't matter, because you know you have expectation. He is developing something inside you. He is preparing and equipping you for your ministries. And you're going to have success because he's leading you into triumph. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. God's so good. Hallelujah. Well, you look so much better this week.
Amen.
I said you look good this week.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. I mean, not you look
better.
I was going to say, yeah.
You've been preaching it to me.
Oh, praise God. I mean, you just look just amazing. Amen. God is so good. Well, thank you for coming tonight. I thought you were going to do some gymnastics. You just look good. Amen. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I just met you and I forgot your name. Is it Terry or what's your name? I'm sorry. Yeah, you're
Lindsay.
Lindsay. You have a sister?
I have two younger sisters.
Two younger sisters. What's the youngest one's name?
Catherine.
Catherine? Amen. Thank you. Lord, we just lift up Catherine, Lord. I just thank you for her. What a blessing that she is, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for giving her some strength, Lord, and encouragement. And Lord, it's the thing that just keeps attacking her mind, Lord God. And it's like it's like trying to put her down or whatever it might be, some kind of oppressing thing. And I just agree right now, Lord God, that you just send your angels just to minister to her, Lord, and just to give her strength and encouragement, Lord. And hope, Lord. It says hope deferred maketh the heart sick, Lord God. But I thank you, Lord, that her hope will be restored and that you'll be able to touch her in such a unique way, Lord, that it'll just bless her, Lord, and just strengthen her, God. I just thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, you have a teaching ministry. I don't know if you're a teacher, but I see a teacher inside of you. And teachers are really good because they're able to take their life experiences and share them with other people. And the way that you teach is almost in the form of a counselor, you know. And I just see you moving very, very powerfully in that arena. And God's anointing you tonight. It's an anointing, it's a power coming upon you to be able to pierce the darkness in people's lives. And so I just want to encourage you in that ministry. Don't let anything hinder. It's like, you're right, some things were said here tonight that were just, you felt, man, he's just like, is he reading my mail? Yes, that's what's going on. But the purpose is it's for you, amen? And you're going to leave out of here a much stronger individual. But the anointing is on you, sister. Amen, that counseling, because so many people are going to get set free. Amen. Because you, one thing, you won't let go. This is something like, it can be a negative, but it can be a positive. Sometimes we don't let go of things and it hurts us, but then some things we don't let go of that are good things. And that's something that God is doing. He's reversing the roles. The stuff you need to let go, it's like, poof. The stuff you need to hang on to, it's like you will not let go. And it's always in believing someone will get set free. You will not let go. You will not give up. You will stay there until the very end. If you got to be there all night, that's what you'll do. And that's the way God created you. He's made you beautiful. You just need to hear that. In Jesus' name, amen. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Somebody have something like, Steph, you got something you have to say? Or no, okay. You won in a couple weeks. You got that look on your face like I should have called on you. Amen. But anyway, my God, so good. Mr. Haynes, could you come up here, please? Are you in the, is Charles in the audience? Oh, there you, thank you. Come on up here. Praise you, Jesus. I love to see how God moves. I think one thing I like about the body of Christ and the variety is everybody has a different way of their ministry. You have your own way. And so when you see the gifts in operation, how people different look at it, you watch and observe how the Holy Spirit uses them and uses their personality. But as you observe it, you're getting instructed how to move in it. And just know that, because that's how it happened to me. And I was blown away my first experience when I got around some men and women of God that moved in that kind of dimension. And I was like, man, I could see how it really helped people. If you have that in you, if you have had that thought of how this could help, that means God wants to use you in it. So just know this, the opportunities will come up. You go to your home groups, I know you guys different meetings and church, stuff like that. When you pray from somebody, just all you gotta do, this is how it works. To start, I'll tell you all, it's a secret, okay? It's really a deep secret. Just pray a blessing over him. Lord, just bless this one in Jesus' name. Just bless him, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for him. Just bless him. Fill him up, Lord. And make all their enemies be nice to them. And fill him up to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And da 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 da. And you just sit there and just stop. And then a thought comes into your mind. I can recover. So I just came. I can recover. I don't know what that means. It doesn't mean anything to me. It might mean something to her. If it doesn't mean anything to her, it doesn't really matter. Because I'm trying my best to bless somebody. It's not a performance. It's just something that I just care. I just love her enough. I don't know who she is. I just love her enough to just believe that God, she needs something from the Lord. And it's not from me. It's from him in me, inside me.
That's right.
And he's at my door. He's at the door of my heart. He wants so much to pour out on people all the time. And that's how it functions.
Amen, amen, amen. I would like to add to that. I agree with everything you said. And when you lay your hands, for example, on someone, say, I bless her, I thank you for her, whatever, and then you say whatever you say, if it doesn't mean anything to that person, the Bible says that prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. You're still edifying and are exhorting and are comforting that person. If you love, if your love comes through, if it's shown to that individual, then the positive things of the Lord will come through and will be a blessing in that person's life. The lady in black on the back, what's your name?
Karen.
Karen, I don't know that I've met you before, Karen. But I see you as a business person. I see you involved in business now. I don't know whether you are or not, but that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing something about business about your life. Now I see an expansion coming with regard to what you're involved in. And just as I say that, I like to explain things about you, but just as I say that, the word teacher comes to my mind about you, that the Lord has imparted something to you and implanted something in you that has to get out. That has to get out. You cannot take it. You cannot live unless this gets out. The Lord has shown you things, and He's prepared you for things, and He has made you ready to be able to give out what He has imparted to you. And so you're going to feel more and more of a stirring. You're going to feel a rush in a good way, in a positive way. At night, the Lord is going to speak to you. He's going to wake you up. You're going to see the Lord in your dreams, and you're going to see other things. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to move in a mighty way and going to stir you up, and consequently is going to stir up your family. And those prayers you've had about family things, the Lord is aware of them. He's not forgotten them. He's not been slow to come about, but it's coming. It's coming about. That wayward one is going to be brought back, and there's going to be healing, and there's going to be restoration. And the word of the Lord is going to flow forth from you, and the word of the Lord is going to flow forth from other members of your family.
That's right.
And you're going to see it. It's going to be a great thing, and you're going to see it. Thank you, Lord.
That's right. Jesus. Yeah, Boots, I want to give you a word of encouragement. Amen. You're not a worrywart, okay? I'll say that off that. So you're not a worrywart. And this is how the enemy is trying to hurt you right now. I just want to expose him, okay? I could be concerned about a loved one of mine, you know what I'm saying? And I, you know, want to protect them. Job made that statement, "What I have feared had come upon me," you know, but that was after he had gone through some series of attacks. You know, he was, you know, things got wiped out, tornadoes came, you know, and all that stuff. And then he said, "What I fear," because it was a series of things that you know, was conditioning him, where the enemy was finally trying to get into his mind, you know. And so it's a series of things, and there's some are small and some are big, but they've been working on you, you know what I'm saying? You're not one to just give in to a fight. That's not you, okay? But subtle things to try to get fear in. And worry is a form of fear, but they've tried to, like, it's you're afraid of loss or something like that. You know, it's like you got this big guy here, you know, and I don't want anything ever to happen to him. There's nothing going to happen to him. Nothing's going to touch him, and you would go through fire for him, you know what I'm saying? But he's protected by the Lord. God has him in his hands. So God said this to me one time. He said, I was sitting there, I was Mr. Overprotected with my first daughter, Amber. I mean, I didn't let her do anything. You know, I was just like, and the Lord said to me, do you want me to protect her, or do you want to protect her? Well, let's see here. That's a hard question to answer. And so I had to let go. You know, it was a little hard for me. I just feel like there's some things that God wants you to let go of. He says, I've got it. I've got my hands. I will able to deliver. I'm able to save. I'm able to heal. I am able to even correct. He says, your heart's right in this matter. Just let me do it. Amen. Because he heard it the first time you said it. First time you prayed it, he heard it. And he did it. Amen. It's okay to remind him. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know what? I'm waiting. I'm down here. I know you heard me. I mean, come on. That's okay. That's okay to do that. But just know that this thing has been trying to work on it. It's over a period of time. It's not overnight. And now it's been exposed. You've got such a call in your life. You're such an undergirder. Your ministry is foundation. You're a foundation minister. And you go under and somebody will be crumbling. You'll go right down. The God will minister right down to their foundation. Go right to the root every time. And God has anointed you that way. Because a lot of these people's their problems, it's foundational problems. It's not something that just happened to them. That'd been going on for a while. And God uses you, and now God says, I'm going to equip you in the gift of healings. I use that word a lot because it comes in different ways. And others could probably teach on it more than I could, but I just know that it's not just one way, different ways. God's going to move through you and bring healing to the people's lives. But the thing about these healings, they're permanent. You know what I'm saying? Because they're foundational healings. They're not healings that are just like, well, the cold went away and 2 weeks later the cold came back type thing. These are things that God's going to just mean it's going to be done. The work's going to be done. You got years of just, whether you know it or not, you have years of spending time in the presence of God. And I see worship times and things like that where you knew you were in the presence of God, but what you were not aware of is what God was putting this deposit inside of you for this season and in these times. And you're going to minister in these seasons and these times. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You know, I believe the Lord is showing me that there's some people here, some more than one person, that's being healed and being set free with regard to some digestive problems. There's a colon problem here that the Lord is healing. And you're not going to, some person has a rather severe colon problem. And you've been told negative things about your situation from the doctors. And we love the doctors, and I'm thankful for them. God bless them. But you've been told negative things, and the problem is you've listened to it. And God is going to heal you. God is going to touch it, and He's going to heal you, and there's going to be a restoration. You're not going to have that operation because things are going to be reversed, and you're going to see it in the next few days and weeks. Thank you, Lord. There's people here with someone has a problem in, I believe it's their right shoulder, up in and around their neck. They have trouble turning their neck. It's a problem, and the Lord is healing you. The Lord is touching you, and He's healing you right now. And someone has a hip problem. They have problems. They sit down and they get up, and that really bothers them. And I believe the Lord is saying He's doing some general things here with regard to healing beyond what we've seen in the past. He's healing. There's someone's got an ear problem, and the Lord is touching them and healing that ear problem. I believe it's just one ear, but the Lord is touching them and healing that ear problem and restoring them, and they're going to be able to hear out of that ear that's been causing them a problem. Someone's had tinnitus, ringing in their ears has been going on. And in the name of Jesus, I proclaim deliverance from that, and I speak healing in that situation. Let me say one more thing that's been going around in me for days. I kind of wrestled with it. Didn't want to mention it tonight because it sounds a little negative. Maybe it is, but I feel like the Lord is saying this as a way of preparing us. It goes right along with what I think Todd was saying, and right along with the first words that came out of his mouth when he began to read from the scripture tonight. I believe the Lord is saying that the church in general is about to enter into a period of confusion. That I'm not saying everybody's going to be confused, but we can see some of it going on now. Even some of the things that Todd has alluded to, we see things and we say, what in the world is going on? Why did that person do such and such? Why did it happen this way? I believe the Lord is preparing us and saying the church is going to be going into a period of confusion. But those who are grounded in His Word, those who are grounded in His Word, are not going to be those that are confused.
That's right.
They're going to be those that have discernment, those that hear from Him, those that know what's going on. It doesn't matter whether you're big or small, or seem to be smart, or seem to not be so smart, or whether you're an intellectual, God is going to be able to use you and speak to you, and we're going to be able to bring order on the other side of that thing.
Amen. Praise Jesus. Thank you. Yeah. We're going to let everybody dismiss, but I'm going to stay up here. Charles is going to be here. People need prayer or whatever. Stephanie, why don't you come up? You can work with me, and we'll be prophesying. But anyway, seriously, if you need prayer for anything, we have other prophets here. There's other people's ministry here. Minister to one another. Thank you for coming out tonight. Let me just pray over you real quick. Lord, I just thank you that I just released Psalm 91 over this group here tonight. I ask you, Lord, to commission your war angels to surround and protect them. You'd fill them up, God, overflowing with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just bind the powers of darkness away from them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Can I say something?
Yeah, I you had some. Hold on. Go ahead.
It didn't hit me until we started singing. It's Garrett, right? Is that your name? And I had a dream about our gathering. I can't remember how long ago it was, but it wasn't recent. And in the dream, there was a tall, there was a big man praising the Lord. And at first I thought it was Doug, but he's always sitting down. And while you were singing, the dream came back to me that it was you. So thank you for being here and blessing us and bringing us into his presence. Thank you.
Thanks. That was really good. Thank you. Amen. See, I knew you had something. It's okay.
I'm slow.
It's all right. No, you're not. Anyway, God bless everybody, okay? Have a good night.
And Leo wanted me to tell you that the words that were spoken over them when they were here, Lee and Randy, that when they went back to Georgia, they had their gathering, and they asked them, what was one of the highlights of your being home all summer? And it was here. It was here and the words spoken over that. So she wanted me to tell you how much
they've blessed
my...
I appreciate that. Yeah. I really like that.
Aruba was very good to me. That was a cat in the works.
Did you get your new soundboard?
No, well, it's his.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's bigger than the one. The other one.
Oh yeah, it's bigger.
Got more buttons.
It's a little over my head, but I could learn it if I had to.